Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jordan with the Laundromat Resource Podcast. This is show 131, and back on the show is powerhouse couple Brian and Melissa Ram today, and they bring it, and they bring it hard today. There's so much good stuff, and you know, I know we've been talking a lot about pickup and delivery lately and the service side of the business, and Brian and Melissa have a self-serve portfolio, and they are running it like pros, and they tell you exactly how they're doing it. This is like a super good episode. And they were excited to share. They actually reached out and was like, hey, we need to come back on because we've got some great stuff to share, and they delivered. So I'm super excited about this interview for you and for me and for them and for all of us. Real quick, I wanted to just, you know, if we have a fast lane tip for you, it's this. We have finally joined the world of AI over here. And one thing, piece of feedback that I get all the time, especially from people who are brand new to the community, by the way, welcome. Glad you're here if that is you. One piece of feedback we get is that there's just so much information through the Laundromat Resource on all the different platforms, the podcast, the YouTube, the blog, the forums, yada, 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 like on and on and on. There's just so much information. And I've been trying to figure out how do I best make it most accessible. So we're like tweaking things. We're always trying to improve. So always open to feedback on that. But one thing that we are doing and have done now, very excited about, is that with the pro community, you get access to our new AI tool that is trained specifically on all the information from all our podcasts, from all the YouTube videos that we've done, from all the Q&As, from all the webinars, from a lot of coaching calls that I've done, the forums, like and more. So much good information is there. And now you can interact with it in a way that will make it helpful. So for example, you could say, hey, you know, tell me, you know, the best marketing plan for my laundromat, or, you know, whatever it is that you need. This AI chatbot is super cool. I'm like super excited about it for myself. I've already been using it to help me organize information and stuff like that. And you know, if you're someone who's searching for information, specific questions about laundromats and stuff, chances are pretty good that we have covered it at some point in time over the last few years of all of this information. And so that AI chatbot can help you find it and organize it in a way that's useful. So that is available already to the pro community. People have been trying it out helping improve it and helping us train it. You know, it takes time for it to kind of learn all the stuff and how to interact, but it is already pretty cool. So if you're interested in that, check out laundromatresource.com/pro. You get access to that chatbot, opportunity to join a mastermind group. You get access to industry discounts and on and on and on, including just being a part of that super positive, super helpful, super encouraging community that we got over there. A lot of really great stuff. So laundromatresource.com/pro, and that should help you out over there. All right. Without further ado, let's jump into it with Brian and Melissa and talk professional self-serve laundromat portfolios. Brian and Melissa, you guys are back. You know what? First of all, it's been too long, so I'm glad you're here. How you guys doing?
We're doing well.
Doing good. I mean, this podcast has made us famous, so we got to come back for more.
That's the goal, right? To make this thing like crack. So you got to come back and get your next hit of fame here. So you're going for your 30 minutes of fame now.
Nice.
Which I love. Seriously though, super good to have you guys back. I remember our first interview, and you know, you guys talking about how you were listening to the podcast driving around looking for laundromats and stuff, and I know you guys have had a lot going on over there, so I'm excited to hear about what you guys have been up to the last couple years. But just in case, well, first of all, if you haven't listened to their first interview, you've got to go listen to it. It's episode 44, which you can find at laundromatresource.com/show44, or on the podcast players and YouTube and all that stuff too. So go listen to that too. But just in case anybody did not follow instructions and went and listened to that one first, can you give us just a quick little background on you guys and how you got in the industry?
Go for it.
we got into the industry. Brian was working and he wanted to retire, and it was a quick Google search on my part, and I found a store for sale in our hometown. We went and looked at it and we were like, all right, yeah, we can do this. We bought that first store, and then a short time later we bought two more so that he could ultimately leave his current job that he had.
After we said, okay, this could work. Yeah. I think we could do this. We bought one just to make sure.
Yeah, okay.
Dip our toe in.
That's right, yeah. You don't want to jump full and get the toe. Right. Well, how long was it? Remind me, how long was it between that first one and your next couple?
I think it was only two. Yeah, it wasn't very long.
4 months.
Okay, so you did get one toe in the water.
We got one toe, and then
you cannonballed.
Right.
Yeah. We did.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Well, what was it, just out of curiosity, like, what was it about that first one that made you think, okay, let's get a couple more?
I don't even know. I just, maybe I was overly confident and didn't really.
That's what I like to hear.
Well, I think a lot of people like get to that 90% mark and then they pull back, they get scared, you know? And we were kind of like, are we going to do this? Because if we're going to do it, let's do it. We did it.
You're speaking my language right now.
Right. So
to my wife's chagrin, by the way. Yeah. Okay. So you guys cannonball into your three stores. You had the opportunity popped up. Well, tell us about that opportunity real quick. It was
So there was two stores, and it was rare for stores in our area to come up. There wasn't a lot of stores, and there also just wasn't a lot on the market back then, because it was just a lot of mom and pop, small run stores. So these other two came up, so we took advantage of them pretty quickly, because I wanted to get to the point where this was our full-time job. So, and we needed to have more than one store to make that happen. So these other two came up. One was a little further out than we wanted to. It's like an hour away from us. But we took it, and we're glad that we did, because the store has been phenomenal for us. And then I left my full-time career, and here we are. So we're 6 years into it, six stores later, and, you know, we're rocking and rolling. So just taking that dive, you know, if you have those doubts in your, because you have doubts in your mind, everybody does, before they make a big commitment, you know.
Totally.
But you got to believe in yourself, make sure you do your homework and do it correctly, and go for it. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, I love that. And, you know, one of the things that I've been saying lately is that, you know, one to three laundromats is really all it takes to replace most people's income, to where you can have sort of that freedom to, you know, jump in if you want to jump in. And so for you, it was three, and then you took the leap out of the job, or did you get another one or two before that?
No.
I left with a three, and then we expanded to five. Okay. Pretty quickly after that.
And then we sold one.
So
I don't know if we
sold one, built in, and then we built our latest store about a year and a half ago. And that was our first new build. All the other stores were either in place and lacking a lot of things that we upgraded, both from an equipment and customer service and experience side. So we did a lot of retooling, and then, but this new one was all brand new. It was our first brand new store from the ground up, which we can talk about, because it was definitely a fun experience.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to dig into what it was like building basically from a white box, right? There was no infrastructure in there before. So we'll have to dig into that. But before we do, let's keep rolling with the story here. So you quit your job, and after you quit your job is when you purchased a couple more. I think a lot of people get scared of, like, man, if I quit my job, how am I going to be able to continue to expand my business, right? And either purchasing more laundromats or whatever that looks like for them. How did you guys expand after you had quit your job?
Well, so I guess that at that point, getting into the laundromat business wasn't really as popular.
Even back 5 or 6 years ago as it is today.
Yeah. So when you bought a store, you weren't paying nearly what you're paying now. So with home equity loans and savings, we were able to have the capital to do what we did.
And a little luck, too. We went and looked at a store. It was like 30 miles from us. And then on the way back, she's like, hey, let's go the scenic route. So we had the Laundromat Resource podcast on our radio, and we take the scenic route home. And lo and behold, we never even knew that this laundromat existed. It was closed for a year and a half. We're like, oh my God, it used to be a laundromat. We should go, you know, we should meet the landlord. So I looked up the land records and found out who the owner was of the property and established a relationship with him. And like 3 weeks later, we signed a lease and we fully renovated that store. And it's one of my favorite stores. It's
very tiny.
It's a small, it's our smallest store, but it's in a great little area. And it runs, and it's you just get on. I guess it's dumb luck. Some of it's dumb luck, you know. Some of it's just, I don't know. It's maybe your podcast led us there. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go ahead and take credit. At least some partial credit for that one. There, so
I like to see that we wore the same shirt today too.
For the I was gonna say we're kind of all matching here.
We're all plumb, man.
I love what we got going on here. Way to coordinate, all of us. Okay. So, well, you know, it's interesting because I mean, yes, it probably is some luck, right? But it's that whole, like, you know, yellow car thing or Volvo thing, or right? Like you say like, oh, I never see yellow cars. And all of a sudden you see yellow cars everywhere, right? Like when you start, you know, honing in on something, you start seeing things that most people don't see, right? And I think it's one of the benefits of immersing yourself in whatever it is that you're doing, whatever it is that you're trying to build, figuring out how to immerse yourself in, you know, more specifically what that looks like is listening to more podcast episodes.
Right.
You can
exactly.
See here. Right. But you know, genuinely, like being around people who are doing the same types of things, have the same types of mindsets, you know, and just kind of letting that stuff just soak into you. And then all of a sudden you start seeing opportunities that other people, not only don't they see, they can't see those opportunities because right. They don't know what that opportunity looks like and what the potential is. So obviously, yes, there was probably some luck in there that you just happened upon this thing, but you guys were prepared for it, right? You were ready for it at that point. And so it was right time, right place, right people to make an awesome little laundromat.
Sure.
That's cruising. So yeah,
absolutely.
Let that be a lesson to everybody out there. Listen to more Laundromat Resource podcast.
That's right. See,
yes,
education for the brain. So yeah. We've got that store, rebuilt the whole infrastructure and equipment, and then our fifth store was one that was.
Well, we went that you're talking Taffel.
Yeah.
So we went to look at a store in this town, and it just didn't pan out. The guy wanted way too much money for it, and just structurally, it wasn't going to work out to put the equipment that we wanted in that store. So when we left, we went the opposite direction and we drove by another closed down laundromat. And Brian sent the landlord a letter. He sent.
I find them. I look them up on land records. I went to the broker that had a couple of spaces that were open in the plaza. I eventually found the owner of the plaza and the owner of the laundromat and sent them a bunch of letters expressing interest and got it. So nice. It's a good sized store. It's our second largest store. And it was a true definition of a zombie mat. It was two lights working in the ceiling.
Fan hanging down.
Ceiling fan hanging down from the ceiling. 75% of the washers are out of service. Same thing with dryers, at least 75% of the dryers. I mean, it was just your true definition. But to me, it was like, oh, this is an awesome opportunity for us. Like this is, I can envision this, you know, I see what we can do with this. And we put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into that location and turned it around pretty quickly. And it's a soft mount store. And customers do like the soft mount equipment. That's for sure. So we got a really good.
What really do you like about it?
You can definitely set yourself apart with it. But it's not just having the machines there and letting the customers figure it out. It's telling a story on why these machines are so good. Watch the spin cycle. It's four times faster than, you know, the competition. So we not only have the equipment in the stores, but we also tell the story behind the equipment through our signage and we try to educate customers as to why there's a better value here than there is somewhere else. And with soft mount, it's you know, 20-minute dry time. So that's a pretty good story to tell that you can wash and dry in 45 to 50 minutes at that store. So
yeah, in and out in an hour. I love it.
Yep.
I love it. Are all of your stores soft mount or?
half and half. So okay. Our brand new one is all soft mount. Our big washers there have the chemical injections. So we inject Tide and Downy into every load on the big monster machines. We weren't sure how that was going to work out. We were kind of like, I don't know if customers are going to like that. You know, people like to have their own soap. And it's turned out really well. Customers really, really do like having that option. So the new store is all Continental soft mount. We have a really good distributor, great sales guy for that line. And then the other half of our stores are Dexter hard mounts. And Dexters are tanks. They don't break. So it really depends on the competitive situation for us, which line we use. You know, the Dexter chassis are a little smaller. So if you're, you know, the Continentals, they take up a big footprint. I mean, the 9-load washer is it's over 6 feet tall and it's super wide. So depending on space and budget and competitive situation, I mean, we have just reasoning for using hard mount versus soft mount. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, that's something I think doesn't get into enough is like, you know, the whole hard mount, soft mount. How do you know which machines to go with and which ones to choose? So I appreciate you sharing some of the criteria there. Okay, so that was your fifth one, right? Real quick, I mean, that one was shut down or it was just kind of limping along?
She was going through a family situation and she was open one day a week and then not open and
It was limping along. It was on life support.
Yeah. So how do you guys come in and say, okay, we find this one that's shut down, we're going to take it over and just kill it. Find this one that's barely, I mean, literally that's like a literal definition of a zombie mat, right? Like it's still upright, but
it was sideways.
Just barely. Yeah. It's like, good grief. But how do you take these situations and say, okay, these could be good money makers for us. I mean, that's a question I get all the time is how do I know if I can make money? Like somebody's obviously already failed at both of these locations. So how do you know that you can succeed at one of these laundromats?
Well, they both were successful at one time. Mm-hmm. The last one we talked about was a laundromat for a very long time and it was successful before she took it over. We had talked to a distributor and he had, you know, kind of told us what we thought that.
Yeah, gave us a history of it. He built it originally. And so he knew a lot of the history about it. We didn't do demographics. We didn't do any of that stuff. We're from the area. You drive the area. You look at your competition. You get a gut on whether or not, you know, it wasn't our first store. So we knew going in what the risk was, and we also knew what the reward was. So if you look at the percentage of renters, just by driving around, renters, multifamily homes, apartments, things like that, and competitively, okay, you know, you look at those two things, does it feel all right? Is the price right? Yeah, all right, let's do it. I mean, we were in a better position. If it was our first store, obviously, probably wouldn't be that quick because it was a pretty quick turnaround. It was probably like 2 to 3 weeks from when we first established connection with the owner that we ended up closing on it. So, you know, it was fast. So then we'll go in and we looked at all the equipment and we ended up keeping, cause some of it was soft mount stuff that had very few turns on it. Mm-hmm. So it was in actually decent shape that just needed a little bit of love. So that's what we went in and did. It was right during COVID. We went in and Melissa's the painter. So she painted all the walls and I'm the repair guy. So I went in and assessed what each machine needed. We ended up tossing some machines, keeping some, and then buying, you know, a 9 load machine, a couple of 40s, like just to fill in where we thought size wise and what we needed for that store. And, you know, it's turned out to be a good store, but it's a good store for a lot of reasons, not just because, you know, it's got nice washers and dryers in it. I mean, we try to just complement the customer experience with great amenities, comfortable seating, bright lighting, the feeling of being safe. I mean, all of those basic principles of successful laundromats. Put those all in play and see what happens. So that's been almost 3 years since we bought that.
Yeah. Okay. So, awesome. And I mean, I do want to kind of, I mean, you guys are running, you guys kind of have an interesting thing going, because your laundromats, and we're going to talk about the build here in a second, but are all of your laundromats unattended?
Except for one. One is not. Okay. And that's the outlier of our family of laundromats. It's an hour away. That one's fully attended. It's in an inner city. So we do wash, dry, fold there. The other four right now are all within probably, 10 to 15 miles of each other?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're pretty close to each other. And we market them together as a brand. Those are all self-serve unattended.
Okay. So you have this unique business model where you have all these unattended laundromats, but you've sort of professionalized them. And I'm hoping that you guys will share with us a little bit, like, what does that mean to professionalize an unattended laundromat? Because, you know, we kind of talked about this offline before, but, you know, what's interesting about our industry right now is that there are more and more savvy investors and business owners coming in. Competition is raising right now. And, you know, one thing that I see happen a lot is these owners who aren't really taking care of their laundromats. Their laundromats are zombie mats or borderline zombie mats are, you know, they're getting pushed around by people who are coming in and sort of running these professional businesses. But what does like a professional unattended laundromat kind of look like, and how are you guys running those businesses to make them so, you know, profitable and prosperous?
Do you want to talk about like the phone service and stuff?
Yeah. So when you go into our stores, you know, between all of our stores right now, I think I have one dryer down as of this morning that I'm waiting for a part for. So when you walk into our stores, all the equipment's working. They're nice and bright. They're clean. They are unattended, but they're virtually attended, I guess you could say, because our numbers are on the wall. Our name and number are on the wall. And love it or hate it, it comes to my phone on a separate, you know, Google Voice number. And I pride myself on getting right back to customers. You know, there's a few things that we've really invested in equipment-wise, so there's really... I don't want customers to have problems. If there is a problem, 99% of the time it's either misuse or, you know, wasn't sure how to use something, or, you know, from the equipment standpoint, we're pretty strong. Everything's very new in our stores. But if a customer does have a problem, even if it's a customer that did something wrong, you know, loaded a machine or whatever, right? We take care of the problem. And what we ended up doing is we use PayRange. So all of our stores are hybrid, so they're coin and PayRange. We also have the PayRange kiosks on the walls, so customers can start machines with debit or credit cards through the kiosk, use the PayRange app, or if they're old school, they can use coins, which a lot of customers still prefer to do. So if a customer has a problem, we have lock boxes on the walls. So my big thing is I'm not going to make a customer write a sheet down and submit it into a box and then call them back and mail them a check. I want to solve the problem right away for them. I don't want to make them jump through hoops, even if it's their fault. I try to educate customers and then say, oh, there's a lock box on the wall. Here's the code. Grab a few bucks. Go ahead and restart that machine. It's just not worth it to us to lose a customer, you know, over a couple of dollars. So we do all that through text, and that's to us directly. You know, we keep track of histories of customers too, and, you know, I can see if it's a customer that's been there a long time or the first time reaching out, and you can get a general vibe as far as how your response will be. That's how we handle most of them. We also, through our Google platform and social media and website, have a separate phone number from our tech support or customer service line. The number that's advertised goes to an answering service, and they have all the frequently asked questions for the laundromats, locations, hours, machine sizes, prices, so on and so forth. So we try to have a buttoned up operation. You're dealing directly with the ownership if there's a problem with the laundromats, which I happily will do, and I do every day. And then also from a new customer, new prospect point of view, we have a professional answering service that will answer any questions or anything that potential new customers or existing customers have. So we try to have a nice buttoned up presentation. Yeah.
Well, and I think that that's, I love some of the, I mean, I'm kind of interested about this lockbox thing. You just got like piles of money in there. Or what's
no. So what I do is I leave.
We do.
Wait, hundreds.
There's,
yeah. Hundreds.
There's $400 in there, but just take like two or three.
And no, no, we yeah, laugh right. Because we put the cost, like usually put the price of the most expensive end in there. That's how much the max that's in there. Uh-huh. But if people only need $3, you tell them to take $3. They'll like hold it up to the camera.
I only have three.
And then they'll close it and lock it back up. Like we've never had anyone just take it all and run.
But here's the thing. If you take it all, I have your phone number one, right?
Yeah.
Number two, it's not worth me driving up there because gas is $8 a gallon.
Oh my gosh,
right?
Yeah.
So whatever, right? But what we end up doing is the code changes every time the money gets taken out. Right. So it keeps the honest people honest. But the thing is, I just like to have it there. I like to have a fast resolution to the problem. So they're happy. I'm happy. Their laundry gets done and we move on. If they use and I usually, if it's a true machine problem, which it's very rare, but it does happen. It happens at every laundromat.
Yep.
I'll say, you know, it takes some extra money to drive for free for the inconvenience, you know, and that's just the way I handle our customers. I want them back. I want them happy. I want them talking about our laundromat. And word of mouth is the best advertising. You can spend all the money you want on Google Ads. You can spend all the money you want on whatever kind of marketing. But if someone has a good experience and they tell someone else, you know, it cost me a couple of bucks. Great.
Yeah.
If they had a bad experience and they tell 10 people, well, then it really costs you.
Yeah. Well, solving people's problems fast is invaluable, right?
Right.
Like, And I think that's one of the biggest frustrations that I saw when I was dealing with customers from my unattended laundromat was like, you know, I live, depending on when I go, when they call me, like anywhere from 40 to an hour and 15 minutes away from my laundromat, right? And so if there's a problem and I can't solve it over the phone and I got to go there, they've got to wait, you know, however long, right? And so, I mean, the lockbox thing is interesting because what I would do, there's no way on God's green earth I could put a lockbox with money in it. I was telling Mark Vlaskamp on Twitter, I was telling him, like, somebody literally one time tore down an entire wall in my laundromat just to get back behind the machine. There was nothing even back there, but they literally tore down the whole wall. So there's no way I could put a lockbox in there, but without people trying to get into it nonstop. What I was doing was I was, you know, if the option was there, I would send them like a Zelle or a Cash App or something like that.
Sure, yeah, there's
we use Venmo and stuff like that too.
Yeah, Venmo. But the problem with that is that they don't have that cash right away. So if they don't have any more cash,
they're out of luck
to do the machines. And it was a coin store only on mine, right? And so then they were just out of luck or they had to try to figure out the cash thing. So it was an imperfect solution to a problem. It didn't happen a ton, but it did happen, you know, sometimes. So,
and it always happens at the most inconvenient time, right?
Always.
And on the smallest machines.
Yep.
I don't know. It's just, that's just our luck. But it's not worth it from my sanity and from a best business practice point of view to make somebody wait. A lot of people that do come in, they don't have money floating around just to feed another washer. And the other thing is vent prices aren't what they were 10 or 12 or 15 years ago either. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they load one of our 6-load machines, that vent price could be up almost to $10. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, you just try to solve the problem immediately. They're happy, we're happy, and life goes on.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do. I do think that's an interesting one. That never would have even crossed my mind to put a lockbox with actual cash in there, and for good reason at my laundromat. But I love that is an option because I mean, like you said, that's a way to solve that problem quickly. It's easy for you. It's easy for them.
Right.
And they just don't have to worry about it. So I like that.
$13 solution.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, even if it forget gas, like even just your time is worth time, more than $13, right. You know, if you're going out there. So, okay. Awesome. All right. So you guys are running this, you know, empire. I'll call it an empire. Let's call it that.
You said
laundromat family, but I'm going to call it a portfolio because that just sounds.
I like that. Legit. That's a Wall Street number. It's a Wall Street term, rather. That's right.
I mean, you're just sounding legit that way. So you got this portfolio of professional epic laundromats, and you decide at some point along the way that you want to build one from scratch, essentially. Like, how did this come about? And then I want to kind of dig into that process of what that was like too.
So we wanted all of our stores to be unattended. Our first store that we bought was attended, and I was working it quite a bit.
And it did a lot of wash and fold. And it was like 50%, 60% wash and fold business.
So our idea was, is we'll sell the store, use the capital to build a store. But first we needed to find a location.
So we, our favorite car wash had this building next door to it, and it used to be a laundromat like 25 years ago, right? So it had the 2-inch or 3-inch gas main, 2-inch water. It had all of those things. It was completely stripped down though, because it was like a restaurant and then a poetry studio. So there was, it was a few other things in between when it was a laundromat in the 90s and today, but it had all the services right into the closet, you know, right into the storage room. So it literally was tap in and go. So that saved us.
That's a huge perk. Yeah.
$100,000. I mean, you know, and the utility run for that store is like almost 1,000 feet to where it ties in. So you're talking, that's probably be a deal breaker, right? I mean, it's just a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So, but it had all the bones. So, we contacted the owner and of the property. It's been in the family since the 60s, and put together a deal. I mean, that was another one that was like, I don't know.
It was quick.
2 weeks, you know? And in that time frame, I got my distributor in there. He did run a demographic report because we did finance the equipment through Eastern. So they needed all that documentation. We knew in our hearts and our guts that, hey, this is going to be a winner. So that was what, July of 21, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, July of 20, I think so. July or August of 21, I forget. So that was during COVID, and that was during all of the equipment was just hard to get. I mean, we ordered the equipment in July, and we didn't get it till January. So that was our biggest wait, was for equipment. But the distributor put together the demographic reports. We looked at the competition. It was kind of like the other store that we renovated. We just felt like there was a need in the market. Quite a few laundromats around it, just nothing great. So we felt like, all right, there's room for us here, but we're going to do a soft mount store because we're going to tell a different story. We're going to tell a story that you can come in and come out within 45 to 50 minutes. With these machines. So we decided to go with Continental, and the rest is history.
Yeah. So the rest is legendary. So did you just find this building while you were at getting your car washed, or like, and did you know it was, and most importantly, did you ever read your own poetry in the poetry corner there?
It was for a high school. It was high school poetry. So that was for a short time, and then the building sat vacant for a very long time.
For like 15 years. It was a restaurant for a minute, and then this poetry thing for a minute, and then it was like empty. So we were like getting our cars washed, and we're like, what are...
Because we've been looking around for
a space.
This
would be perfect. Like, let's do this. And this went on years that we looked at this building, right?
You're just staring at it. Years, and one day it's like, oh, yeah, this one. Yeah, yeah.
Like, this could be it.
No, this is it. Well, we looked at a couple other spaces, and I'm like, oh, it's so expensive to build out. And I don't even know that we knew at that point that it had been a laundromat at one time.
No, I don't think so.
We didn't know until we actually went in and looked at the space, and we were like, are you kidding? There's like drains in the floor already.
Like it was a vanilla box, but formerly a laundromat, right? So
yeah,
it had everything ready to go. So from an infrastructure point of view, there was a big savings. So that allowed us to do some other things there that we probably wouldn't have if we had to, you know, build from the ground up. So, yeah, I mean, it went together really quickly, and we put some nice equipment in there, and you know, it's a great store. We put a lot of pride and effort into our stores, and hopefully it shows. We get good feedback from customers, and it was definitely a cool experience to be able to do it. So it wasn't really a true like ground up build, but it necessarily wasn't buying an old store and renovating. So
yeah. So, okay. So you found this location after years of staring at it, and you decided, okay, hey, we'll check this out. Right. So what was the process like, just for somebody who's interested in building out a space? What was the process like of like, okay, this location might work, to, okay, we're signing a lease for this? How did you have to, you know, start talking to Eastern Funding or distributor, or like, what was that process like in the beginning there?
So it was talking to the landlord first and coming up with basically a letter of intent, you know, so what we agreed upon for, okay, this is what we pay for rent. This is how long. We did a 30-year lease there. We did a 15-year initial with 3 5-year renewals. So we did a nice long lease there. So we don't have anything to worry about. It's a fixed price. Everything's fixed there. So we know what our number is going to be every month. So once we got the letter of intent signed, then I went to my distributor and said, okay, we have this location. Why don't you come look at it? He came and looked at it. And we scribbled out on the floor layout that we thought, because Melissa, that's her specialty. She loves laying out laundromats. She does it. She's awesome at it. She puts just the right amount of machines in, not too many, not too few, and leaves wide aisles and all of the things that successful stores strive to have. So anyway, so she did that with our distributor and came up with a machine count and went through the quote process. And then I talked to Jennifer Whitney at Eastern and said, okay, here's what we're looking to do. Here's the location. And they have their whole process as far as what they want for docs from you. So, you know, it was originally the letter of intent, the quote, to say, okay, is this possible? Do these numbers work for you guys? Because they have to be on board, you know? Mm-hmm. And then she came. They've been fantastic, by the way. I know a lot of people that do use them. And I'm certainly not endorsing them, but it was our first time having to use a lender, a laundromat lender, because it was a big number, a little bit of a scary number, but it was a big number, and they were fantastic to deal with. So she said, yeah, that looks like it will work. So they requested some more information from us, and then we ended up putting the lease together. I mean, this is all within like 10 days to 14 days. So once we got pre-approved from Eastern, figured out how long the machine, because that was the big thing, is like, how long is it going to take? Because Continentals are made in Spain. So it's involving shipping. And it was at the time when all the shipping containers were getting like, you know, stacked
in
up.
The middle of the ocean. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So we're like, all right, how long is this going to be? Because I think it was July that we ordered it. And like I said, we didn't get it till like mid-January. So, you know, how long is it going to take for the equipment? And then trying to build in some rent abatement to say, hey, we'd be ready to go in October, because it really only take us a couple of months to get the store going because the infrastructure was there, but the equipment's going to take longer. So the landlord built in, I don't know, 4 months or something like that of abatement. So okay. We were 1 month short.
Yeah, we ended up paying
a month. We ended up paying a month, but...
Should have pushed for more, because that guy or gal hadn't had rent for
a decade and a half
before, you know?
I know, but it's all good.
Okay, so, were you guys doing anything on the build-out while you were waiting on machines? What was that like?
Yeah, so I put it out to bid and ended up getting two guys that are retired plumbers from the state of Connecticut that came in and did the build out on the plumbing. And one beauty of having the machines take so long is that we could kind of pace ourselves. So, hey, I'm not in a rush to do this job. If you want to come in and work a couple of days and you had another job that takes you a week, come back. You know, I said, this is my deadline, January 1st. I said, I don't care how long it takes you. I just need to be done January 1st. Same thing with our electrician. And that was the other thing, too. The electrical service was big enough to support all the new machines, so we didn't have to run any new electrical service or anything.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah, so we gave general contracted the job ourselves and just hired some contractors and did a lot of it ourselves too. And we put it together, and you know, we were really fortunate from a contractor point of view. We had really good subs for that job.
Yeah, retirees are awesome. They work harder than
Yeah. These guys are like 70 years old. They're like fantastic. They're rock stars. Yeah. They did the plumbing build out in like 4 days, plumbing and gas in like 4 days.
You know? If you don't need it for another 6 months or so, okay, you're done.
That's pretty much how it worked. That's pretty much how it went down. Yeah. I was really impressed with how they worked. So, and they gave me some ideas I never would have thought of too. And that was their first laundromat build. So, pretty cool. We ended up doing bulkheads in that store, pre-built Highmark bulkheads.
Okay.
So those came pre-plumbed and the electrical in them. So that was just a basically just tying into those. And that was a first for us too.
Yeah.
Buying those. I liked it. Made things really easy. It looks nice. So we kind of spared no expense with that store.
Yeah. I mean, is that the, you know, you mentioned that, is that the way that you would do it again? Spare no expense? Because typically our industry has been very frugal, right? Like we invest the minimum possible. We use cheap, hardy materials, you know, linoleum, square tile floors, and, you know, stuff like that, which, you know, is one way to go, I guess. You know, more and more I see of sort of the people who are doing the best are investing a little more for a little more quality in their stores. So I'm just kind of curious, like, okay, today I bring you another location. It's a great location. You're going to build it out. Are you doing sort of that same caliber of build again? Would you take it down a notch? What would you do there?
No,
I mean, we started doing like the polished concrete floors, which I really like because that you can't, like, it's supposed to look industrial, so it's not gonna, you know, look beat up or worn out. That's just how it's designed to look from the get-go. So it's nice to have that as a flooring choice. And we've done it in almost all of our stores now because we really do like it that much.
All of our stores have a similar vibe, and they're all co-branded, so they all look pretty similar.
We kept the same colors and kind of, we try to make it look like it's the same, you know, that they are a chain almost. Because we do get a lot of people moving from one city to the next, so they will use our store when they move.
Or I'll get a text on our support number. Your store is packed right now. Can you look on the cameras and let me know what your other location, if it's, you know, if it's busy? And you know what? I'll look on the cameras for them and tell them. You know, I live and breathe this business. I mean, ask her. It drives her nuts. You know, we'll be on vacation and I'll be like, you know, looking up laundromat stuff. But to answer your question, no, I don't cut corners. We're fortunate enough that we didn't buy a new piece of equipment in the first 3 years that we started. It was either fixing what was broken or buying refurbished out of New York City. So really, it wasn't until the third year that we bought new stuff. Because we said, oh my God, how can we afford these machines? They're so expensive, you know? So it wasn't until year three, year four that we could pay for new. But no, I won't spare any expense. And if I can't do it right, I won't do it. It's just, we have a good reputation in the community. I'm going to keep that reputation. The new store has automatic door. It's got all the bells and whistles, right? That's how I want it to be. That's how I want the experience to be. Comfortable seating. It's got good tunes. All of our stores play the same music playlist, which we get complimented on quite a bit. So they have the same vibe. When you walk in one of our stores, you know it's one of our stores. They're all co-branded. We cross-promote because, like Melissa said, you know, people go from location to location. Sorry about the dog. People go from, you know, move around in the area. She's a 4-pound security dog.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a little 12-pound Italian greyhound security dog. You probably can't hear him, but he's howling downstairs right now.
Yeah, no, she's a Yorkshire Terrier. She thinks she's a pit bull.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love the mindset because, you know, like I said, I think that's been a very rare mindset, you know, in our industry of, hey, if I'm not going to do it right, I'm not going to do it. You know, I think that's relatively new for this industry. Obviously there's always exceptions, but, you know, but I just see, like, I just talk to so many laundromat owners all over, right? And the ones that are doing the best, that are enjoying the business, that are profiting the most from the business, are the ones who have that same mindset, right? Who are, you know, taking care of their customers, communicating they value the customers by providing a good experience for them and running their business like a business, right? And so I love, obviously, hearing that. You know, I mean, besides the fact that you guys flattered me on the last interview, it's the other reason that you're back on here. You know, I just think we need more of that mindset. So. But mostly it's just a flattery thing.
Yeah,
it just works on me, you know?
Yeah,
it just works.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, you mentioned a couple times now, like comfortable seating, bright lights, stuff like that. What kind of seating are you? Are you throwing in couches in there? What are you doing? You got recliners?
We don't have recliners, but we have comfortable, like, couch setups. I mean, we have... we started doing cocktail tables with stools. Customers like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so we've been adding that into the mix at our stores. That's actually been the most favorite, is the high tops. You know, and
kind of gives a good vibe, I think.
I was just gonna say it's the vibe. You know,
yeah.
it's the vibe, and we sell our story in the stores. Like, why? What's the benefit of coming here? You know, I go into so many laundromats. Like, this is what we do. We the other day we went into two. You know, I go in, there's like the TVs are off. There's no music playing. It's just, you know, if that's how you want to run your store, that's great. You come into ours, we have Atmosphere TV playing. We got good tunes playing. I mean, how much feedback do we get on the music?
People love the music.
It's crazy.
Which one of you guys has the good taste in music? That's what I want to know.
Well, Brian has an unfair advantage.
I was in the radio business for 25 years, so. I know it works and what doesn't work.
Okay.
So I will not share my music secrets.
Oh, I like it.
That's like the secret sauce at McDonald's, man.
Yeah, that's right. He's got it. All right. Well, now I'm going to have to just go sit in your laundromat and write down every song that's going in there. That's funny. I'll have to connect you up with my... Yeah. That's awesome. I love that. I'll just connect you up with my son who just started on his own Laundromat Resource Radio.
Nice.
Which is pretty fun. So go check that out, laundromatresource.com/radio. It's mostly just replays of stuff right now, but he's got some ideas, so I'll be
awesome.
Interested to see if they play out. Okay, so, you've mentioned this a couple times too, and I'm wondering if we can just dive into this a little bit more. But you've talked about, hey, we're selling our story here. And... I love that. You know, I just finished, Story Brand I've read. I don't know if you've read that, but Donald Miller. Is it Donald Miller? Dang it. Story Brand. It's a great book. You should check it out. Sounds like you're already doing it. And then there's another one that he wrote, like how to start a small business or how to run a small business. It's similar. It's talking about, you know, story, right? And using story to sell and to connect with your customers and your clients and stuff. So I love that. So I'm wondering if we can just kind of dive into, like, what is the story that you're selling? And you've already mentioned a couple of ways that you're communicating that story, but let's talk about that a little bit if you don't mind.
So specifically, the time obviously is something that nobody can get back. So the quick wash cycles, we don't have any machines in our stores that are under 200 Gs. So all of our stuff is 200 G or above. So we can sell a pretty quick turnaround story, which a lot of people, you know, everyone's crunched on time. Everyone's working two jobs or running around with the kids or, you know, doesn't want to sit in a laundromat in the summer. you know, just for hours. At, you know, our first store, the dry time was what?
49 minutes.
You know, I mean,
49 minutes. Store.
Oh yeah, yeah. So
I know that because I was doing a lot of the wash and fold, and I'd be like waiting for just chomping at the bit to get it to be done.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. So, just talking about the time, obviously, the fast extract speed on the washers, the benefits of a fast extract speed: cleaner laundry, shorter dry time. You know, a long dry time isn't great for your garments. Sorry about the dog. So just talking about that, you know,
safe, bright lighting, lots of, you know, there's lots of security cameras, so people feel safe.
And with high extract speeds, people think it's the dryers that are doing the heavy lifting. It's actually the washers. But when you promote that you have a, you know, hot dryers, and they come in and use a fast extract washer, and it only takes 20 minutes to dry, the dryers get the credit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know. So. And then just having the, you know, the basics, the Wi-Fi, the good customer service, all the pieces of the puzzle. You know, we've kind of refined our model for self-serve unattended, and we've duplicated it throughout these five stores. And as we expand even more, we just basically rinse and repeat now, and feel like we have a good model going forward.
I think that that's great. And I mean, I think it's one of the awesome things about our business, right? Is like, once you find a model that works, you can kind of transplant that model to different locations. Obviously there's going to be some nuances for every location.
Sure.
But you know, by and large, you know, you can do that. I mean, I think that's like what the Williford brothers have done with their, right, you know, 2000 laundromats or whatever, not really 2000, but you know, they've got a model that works, and they just sort of drop it on top of other existing laundromats or laundromat builds that they do. And it sounds like you guys are just doing the same thing. You've found a model that works for you guys, and you've refined it. You continue to refine it, but then you just, you know, keep plopping it on new locations. Yeah,
and like you said, there's different nuances. We have one store, the small store that we found that was closed, and it was parking lot challenged, right? So you adapt and overcome. That's what I try to do. Okay, here's the problem. How do we fix it? So the pizza place next door has a huge parking lot. It's right next door to us, like literally 10 steps from our front door to theirs. So we put a deal together. We pay them a little money, and our customers can park in their parking lot. You just try to find solutions to your problems, you know, and we were able to do that. You adapt and overcome. So there's more than one way to figure it out, you know. If a store doesn't have parking and you love the store, but it's just not going to work out well, well, maybe you can strike a deal with somebody that has parking next door. So we ended up doing that in that situation. Not ideal, but in this spot, it was close enough to work. So,
yeah. Yeah, dude. Yes, absolutely. And there's, you know, not just, it's not just like obstacles to overcome nuances. There's also opportunities at different locations, right? Where you can do some things that one location that you maybe can't do at another. You know, maybe you got extra space or something, and you can run a pickup and delivery out of it because you got storage space, right? Like, there's a lot of different nuances that you can, you know, you can look to, number one, solve a problem. And you know, I bet if you can find those problems in a laundromat that you're looking at and the current owner hasn't been able to solve it, you can bet that's a value add opportunity when you go and you say, you know, forever laundromat owner or laundromat customers haven't been able to park in the pizza parking lot. And now all of a sudden you've just opened up 5 or 10 more spots that they can open up in. Well, hey, you've just added value to that laundromat by making things more convenient for the customers. Right.
Yeah.
And so looking for those opportunities, both in solving problems and also looking at untapped potential at a certain location, which is pretty cool. I'm curious. So one of the things I've found in, you know, man, you guys must've really flattered me good, because I'm looking at your last episode and I basically call you a husband and wife laundromat power couple in the title. And, I don't know, did you guys pay me? I don't know what happened.
We did. Did the check clear?
yeah, it must have cleared. I don't remember, but it must have cleared. So
we put it in our lockbox. You haven't picked it up yet. It's in the lock.
You got a lockbox from all the podcasts you've been on. Okay, so but you know, I'm kind of curious, like, what makes you guys a good team? What are your guys' strengths and weaknesses? And do you guys complement each other? Do you guys both have like similar strengths? And it just kind of like, you know, this constructive interference where like a wave hits another wave and it's like a mega wave, or are you guys like leveling each other out because one of you's way up here and one of you's down here and then vice versa?
What's she that levels like? Me out. She levels me out because I'll be like, hey, I want to put a 10 load washer in this store. I want to do this. Oh, this store's for sale. I want to buy this store. Let's do that. No, let's not do that. Let's not do any of that. You know, I like our life the way it is. You're crazy.
No, that's not true. No, we have different strengths and weaknesses. Definitely. We definitely do. I think that my superpower is my intuition. So
yeah, she knows if it's a good deal or a bad deal.
I can read people.
You should charge for that.
I hate when it happens though, because we had a deal that we wanted to do and we met with the people and I just, this feeling in my stomach, I know that feeling. I'm like, we can't. I was like, I don't like them. I don't trust them. It's just, and he's like, oh, that's ridiculous. You can't. And I'm like,
cause I'm more like, let's just do it. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's kind of gotten us somewhat like, her strengths and my strengths both maybe aren't perfectly aligned, but both of us have gotten us to where we are because of our strengths. Like of me pushing her, like, no, we got to do this. This is good. And her being like, you're nuts. You know, like, no, we're not doing this. Right.
Yeah.
But I think her kind of checking me a little bit every once in a while is a good thing. So,
yeah. Well, and
you're married. You know how it goes.
No, I know exactly how it goes. We have the exact same. I mean, I'm pretty extreme with like, come on.
Yeah,
like,
right. That's me.
Let's just do it. And my wife is like pretty conservative. Like, I don't know about that. And it was a source of conflict for a long time for us until we kind of figured out how to make it work for us and not against us.
Yeah.
Which is a skill set on its own.
Sure.
Some marriage advice there. But that's kind of what I suspected was going on, because I see just a lot of the best partnerships out there, right? Whether that's a husband and wife. I mean, Wilfer brothers, I think, have a similar thing going with their stuff, their brothers, or just business partners, right? Where there's one who's really pushing the boundaries. And I think you need that, right? Maybe I'm biased because that's who I am.
You.
but really just pushing the boundaries of like, hey, we've got to get like, we've got to go like 0 or 100. Let's get 100 here.
That's me.
Right. Like maybe even a little bit more than 100. Right. But you also need that other kind of guiding force. That's like, okay, hold on a second. If we do that, you know, you got to stop and think about the implications of all this. Right. And I'm like, well, I'm not thinking about that. It'd be awesome to have a 100-pound washer in here and it fits right here. It's perfect. Let's just do it. Right. But you've got those two kind of things working together. And, you know, it makes me think of, Traction, the book Traction, or Rocket Fuel, where it talks about, hey, most of the successful businesses, you got the Jobs Wozniak thing, you know, et cetera, you go down the line where you've got this kind of push and pull, this yin and yang that's going on. And as long as you can figure out how to work together, you've got like a super team, right?
Yep.
You've got a powerhouse couple, if you will.
Well, like we try to just, our root is how can we serve our customers the best possible way, right? So everything, that's the foundation of what we do, you know, because we're providing a service. And in return for the service that we provide, you know, we get paid. But without having that foundation of how can we best serve our customers, and we build off of that, you know, and honestly, at the end of the day, that's what we come back to when we make our decisions. How can we best serve our customers? You know, and I'm like, well, let's buy, we put a 10 load machine, and I'm like, well, now we need two. Like, why don't we have two? And she's like, no, supply and demand, right? Like, make the one special that we have. It's special and people will wait for it. And there's a line of people waiting for it. I'm like, we need two. And she's like, no, they're 30 grand. We're not getting two. You know, so it's like, okay, honey.
Well, and plus you have to have the dry space to support it. And if we can't fit the dry space.
Okay, listen, you're bringing logic into this, and we're getting excited about more. What if we just, listen, let's brainstorm here a little bit. What if we just got rid of all the machines and only put in 100-pounders?
There
what?
You go.
Right. What? Clotheslines off the side of the building.
No, you do 10 load machines and then figure out your dry capacity, and then you're done.
Wait, you're giving away my secret, because I do want to do that. I wanted to open a store and just have it just be big washers and big dryers, and that's it.
I love it. See, she's in. We've already convinced her.
She's converted in the last 3 minutes.
You know what she's doing? She's laying the groundwork for episode 3. Because so. we'll
you know definitely,
yeah, we definitely have to have you back on if you do that. Or maybe we invent something that like connects to the windows, and then you hang all your clothes on the window thing that hangs off, and then as you drive home,
I like it.
Oh, it's like a clothes, one of those round clothes racks on your roof with an umbrella.
Yeah, something like yeah, exactly.
Perfect. Done.
Listen, there's wherever there's a problem, there's a solution, right?
There is, absolutely.
So we've got it figured out. No, okay. So yeah, awesome. So you built this thing out, and you know, one of the things that I talk about with clients a lot is who are interested in building is, and we talked about this a little bit, but you know, when you build out a new location, everybody you need to do laundry at your store to make it successful is currently doing laundry somewhere else. So how did you guys get customers who were doing their laundry somewhere else into your store?
It's all part of the competitive analysis. For us, we'll see, we'll go in every one of our competitors, see what they're doing, what they're not doing, what we think that we could do better, and kind of build off of that. I mean, that's really, right?
Yeah, and our location was on a really busy street, and with the car wash being pretty complimentary to a laundromat, we had the coming soon sign for a while, so people were anticipating us opening, which helped in the beginning. We advertised.
Yeah, we do a lot of marketing.
Some might say you false advertised on the coming soon part.
Well,
it took like 7 months, but you know, okay, keep going.
We put a couple extra O's in there, so it's like coming soon.
It's all relative.
It is. Yeah. Soon could be 3 years from now.
Yeah, that's right.
It's fine, but a healthy amount of advertising too. I came from a 25-year advertising background, so used a lot of that knowledge in this business, and spend a healthy number advertising and telling that story.
Do you guys continue to advertise at the same level, or did you advertise heavier up front and then back off after you kind of got things running?
We advertise heavy up front.
Okay.
I'm not going to spin my wheels for 6 months and wonder why. I'd rather just make a huge splash, and you need people through the door, and then they'll tell other people, hey, this is a new laundromat. It's awesome. Then, you know, so no, I don't. We have continuing campaigns for all the stores, but when we open a new store, we really front load our advertising.
Yeah. And, you know, I was reflecting on it, I don't know, like a long time ago, but like, I think one of the mistakes I made in my first laundromat when I got in is, you know, I mean, the broker told me, hey, you put in new machines and here's what number you're going to make. Like, it was like $5,000 or $6,000 net, right, of income. And I was like, oh, sweet. Like, that's awesome. But I came in very complacent and was just, you know, I didn't do any advertising up front because he didn't tell me I needed to, and I was dumb. So, but I, you know, I think having that sort of big bang up front and getting the word out, telling the story of your store. And I mean, I think all of that is so important, and is only going to be more and more important as we go forward, because it's getting more and more competitive out there. We've got people like you who are running top notch, you know, laundromats with, you know, professionally, and giving customers a great experience. And, you know, right now there's still a lot of laundromats that aren't doing that. And so you guys have a huge advantage, but as more and more people come in, you know, it's going to get more and more competitive there. So that'll be more and more important. And having that story, I think, gives you a huge competitive advantage over someone else who may even just be, you know, have some promotion or something.
We did billboards for this store, which I've never done before. That was the first in, I did it in my prior job, but not for our laundromats. So we did a heavy advertising campaign, probably much heavier than most laundromats do when they open, but I'm not going to sit and spin my wheels for 6, 8, 9 months.
We did. We got the billboard across the street from the store.
Yeah, with a big arrow, you know, just strategically placing those. And I think for us too, like we both were born here. We both have lived here our entire lives. So we know like where things are. We know where to advertise. We know what people to hit. So somewhat of the home court advantage there, which I think helps too.
Do you have any sense of how that billboard performed for you? I mean, billboards, I think, are notoriously pretty difficult to track.
Yeah, it's hard to track.
So maybe it's intangible, but just out of curiosity, like, did you get any sense?
No, but collectively, like, there's no silver bullet in advertising, right? Right? Yes. So collectively, I like to say it's, you know, it's a success. With everything that we do on an ongoing basis and things that we do for launches, collectively it works. But now it's hard. You know, you don't get the per click.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you get car counts, but that's,
that is what it is.
It is what it is, you know? Yeah. But I think it all comes, you could have a billboard on, you know, in the middle of Times Square, but if your message isn't right, it ain't going to work. You're going to spend the money, you know? So I think coming back to telling a story,
huge.
Giving people a reason why they should step foot into your store is so important. So,
One of the things that, I mean, you mentioned that I think also is so important is you went to, you went to your competitors and you looked to see like, you know, what holes you could fill that they're not filling, right? And what services you could fulfill they're not fulfilling, right? And so finding sort of that place in the market and being able to stand out. I think a lot of people just sort of put, well, I'll just speak for myself. I just sort of put up a laundromat and like, okay, I'm gonna put new equipment in, bam, everybody come and love me now and give me money, right? And it doesn't work that way, but finding that niche in there where you can kind of position yourself and, you know, and tying that into your story, right? And integrating into your story actually allows you to attract a whole lot more customers. It sounds like you guys did a good job of that.
And the thing is, too, if we went to our competitors, because this has come up, because we've had other locations present themselves to us to expand to, and for whatever reason, they just didn't work out. And maybe it was because the competitors are all doing a great job. I mean, I get that from a lot of people that contact us that are first-time buyers that either haven't looked at the competitors or have and refuse to accept that there just isn't a lane for you, you know, and that's so important. You got to know when to say no too. You have to, because let's face it, the equipment's not getting cheaper. Labor's not getting cheaper. I mean, it's big. You're talking big money now, you know. You could build a store equipment wise for like $100,000 back in 2004. That number now is like 450 to 500, you know, and on top of all of your infrastructure and everything else that goes into it, right? So the risk is just huge. But knowing when to walk away too, we've walked away from deals just for whatever reason. You know, there was one in a smaller city and they had two competitors that were doing a pretty good job. So why am I gonna spin my wheels? You know, good for them that they're doing good. I'm glad, you know, it's good to see our, because if they do well, we all do well, right? But when there's the opportunity and you seize on it because you don't feel like it's up to the market's up to par, well, that's what we try to look for.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm curious now. I mean, you mentioned a lot of stuff, but I'm curious now, like, what's the future plans for you guys? Are you trying to keep scaling up? Are you sitting tight on your 4 or 5 laundromats? What's your... Was that a laugh?
Yeah, my answer or hers?
Well, let's get the real answer. So, Melissa, what's the... Just kidding.
We're always looking, and, you know, we have always have feelers out there, and...
Yeah, we have some...
Right, that's the diplomatic answer. Let's get the fun answer, Brian.
BS. So, yeah. We have a long-term, long-range plan for our businesses, you know, and we have... the locations, the cities that we want to be in. And we're checking those boxes off as we go. And we're getting closer to that. I would rather, you know, when we started 6 years ago, we should own 50 laundromats, or, you know, we should own 25 laundromats, and I don't care where they are. Let's just do it. Let's get a handful of stores right at this moment, a handful of stores in the right areas, and capitalize on those. So we're in like 3 of the 5 areas that we want to be right now. There's 2 other areas that we're looking into to expand. So, you know, as they present themselves, we'll, you know, I'd rather have fewer stores in great locations than a lot of stores in so-so locations.
Melissa, are you proud of yourself right now? That just sounds like there's a lot of growth that happened along the process in Brian, where he was, you know, he's out there doing his Brian thing. Let's get all of them. And now look how mature he is. You know what I mean?
Like,
he's so mature. And we know for a fact that that is due to you, for sure. So you should feel very proud. as you're kind of looking around, I mean, like you mentioned, there's a lot of obstacles right now, right? There's machine costs have gone dramatically up, you know, labor costs are going up, labor shortages are happening, interest rates are high, like on and on and on and on. And it's like you said, it's getting tougher. You gotta be on top of your game here a little bit right now. And there's a shortage of laundromats for sale too, on top of it all. And multiples are going up, and, you know, so, I mean, as you guys are trying to navigate that, like, do you have any like tips or any ways that you're kind of thinking about this stuff as you're doing it for yourself?
Just buying with your head and not your heart, right? Is that the right saying? I don't know. Just like,
glad you said heart. I didn't know where you were going with that, to be honest.
it's romantic laundromat talk.
I love it.
You know, I just think it goes back to being in the right locations, you know, because whether you dump $500,000 into a store in a not desirable area for a laundromat, or $500,000 into a store, whatever the price is, right? Into a market that's going to do well, you just got to do your homework and, you know, and make sure that you're going to the competition and seeing what everyone else is doing, seeing if there's a void somewhere where you can fit in. If there's not, you need to know when to back off and say, you know what, this isn't the right place. This is, you know, and I think between the two of us, we're pretty good at that. Like I said, she had me going from, you know, I want 50 stores to like, let's get a nice portfolio of strong stores. So that's on her.
Yeah, no big deal. I'm kind of a big deal over here a little bit, but. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. That's good advice. Cause right now, you know, and kind of what I'm hearing you saying is like, let's go back to the fundamentals and make sure all the fundamentals are solid, right? Using your head is making sure the numbers are going to work, making sure the business is going to be there, making sure you're signing on a good lease, you know, making sure once you have that store, you're really taking care of it and running it professionally, you know, all that stuff. It sounds like, hey, you know, take care of the fundamentals, and the fundamentals will take care of you.
Ooh, I like that. That's perfect. Well, it's true though, because everything's just gotten so expensive. Like your numbers, you have to cover, you know, a lot bigger of a number now. We were talking about, like Venn prices, you know, Venn prices 15 years ago versus Venn prices now, machine costs 15 years ago versus machine costs now, right? Like
it just doesn't line up,
you know? And then you were paying people back then $8 an hour. Now, like Connecticut's gone $1 an hour every year since 2011. So, you know, 50% increase on wages, 50% increase on workers' comp. So you gotta make sure you're operating at a high level, because the bills are coming fast and furious, you know, and they're coming whether you're making money or not. So it's just so important to do your homework and reach out to somebody that can guide you. If you're a first-time buyer, reach out to somebody that can guide you. through the lease process. A lot of people get stumbled up in leases, you know, and don't pay attention to the escalators. They like that shiny number at year one, but then they're 5, 8, 10 years in, that number's, you know, multiplying, and nothing else is getting cheaper. So, yeah, just, I know a lot of first time buyers watch your podcast. So, it's important to grab somebody that's in the business to help guide you. It's money well spent. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I've said this a lot, but like, man, if someone like you guys could have had a conversation with me before I bought my first one, like, it would have saved me six figures plus, right? Like, it just, there's a lot of potential gotchas in this business. This business can be great, and it could be your ticket to freedom, and you could run it a whole lot of different ways. You could build a huge business. You could have just a couple smaller stuff. You could run unattended, fully attended, service, not service. Like, there's a whole bunch of ways you can do it. And really it only takes 1 to 3 to get you out of your 9 to 5, if that's what you want to do. However, it's a tricky little business to get into, especially early on, because there's a whole lot of places you can go wrong. And so it's just priceless to have somebody who understands the business helping you through, especially that first deal.
For sure. And I don't think it's as easy as a lot of people perceive it to be. You know, I think that a lot of people get hooked on the passive. You know, it's not a passive business. Are there some people running it passively? Yeah, they are. But if you talk to anyone that's mildly successful in this business, they're not running it passively. They're running it like, this is our full-time gig. This is what we do, you know? And I think to be successful, you need to be more than passive.
Yeah, so I think I'm winding down on questions here, but you just keep bringing it out of me, you know? But now, I mean, you've got 5 right now, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, how many hours are you guys spending on these 5 laundromats right now?
Well, this past weekend, when a 4-year-old set off a fire extinguisher and coated the entire store in powder, or a normal week. No, I'm in the stores.
Sounds like a good time to me. I don't know.
It was a great time. I was in such
not
a good
for
mood.
You, for the 4-year-old.
Oh, yeah, I had a great time. It's like a foam party. You know those foam parties they have at the clubs? Like, this was a powder party. But on a normal week, I'm in the stores at least 5 days a week, all of the stores. Except the attended one, I'm there a little bit less. I'm there like 2 to 3 times a week. I have a cleaning company that comes in 7 afternoons to all the stores and 5 mornings. So I'm sorry, in 2 mornings. So I go to all of the stores 5 mornings and then throughout the day. They're all relatively close to us, so I pop in throughout the day. We're heavy on the cameras and security, so if I see something in the stores I don't like, I'll take a ride out and fix it. At least 5 days a week, I'm at every one of our unattended stores, and then a couple of days a week on the attended store. So, and it just depends, like overall hours, you know, we like to enjoy our summers in New England. They're so short. So I try to front load my work schedule, do all the grunt work, the build outs, the equipment changes, anything big project wise. I try to do that over the winter and then try to enjoy, you know, the summer as much as possible. So that's one of the benefits, like you say, of the laundromat business, is that you're able to do things like that if you set things up properly and are able, you know, to do it. And we feel like we're at a good spot right now that we're able to do that. So,
yeah, you get that flex time going. I like that.
Yep.
All right. Well, I mean, listen, we've already done this before, but I'm curious, do you guys have, okay, we got secret sauce, which is, one piece of advice for current laundromat owners. You got something for current laundromat owners that you think they could, you know, insert into their business or do into their business to help them improve it?
Well, go with the music. I'll go with the music.
What?
I think that having good music is a good secret.
How are you guys doing the music? Are you just putting together your own playlist? Are you using like a service? How are you doing that?
So we're using a service that pays the royalties because I don't know how they are in California, but ASCAP and BMI, they you know, if they go into a place and they have music playing, they want to make sure it's certified. So there's companies out there that do that. But you can create your own Spotify playlist within that. So,
oh, okay.
So what we do is we originate a Spotify playlist and then export it out to the stores.
Do you know what that service is called? That's okay. If not, I'm just curious.
You know, I'll shoot it over to you, Jordan.
All right.
So you have it.
If he actually does, I'll put a link in the description or the show notes. But don't hold your breath.
I can't believe I can't find that. I can't find that book.
That's okay.
Must not be that great. Yeah.
No, it's really good. I don't have it with me. That's the problem.
Do you know who it's by? What's the general idea of the book? I probably read it.
So it's a restaurant owner in New York. And hang on. It's a really good book. So he's a restaurant owner in New York, and he was awarded one of the top 50 restaurants in the country, right? So he went to this, and he was a new restaurant owner. He got 50th place, and he was all pissed off. But he
setting
was among...
the table?
Hmm?
Setting the table?
No.
Okay.
It's the book,
all right, keep going, keep going.
The show, The Bear.
Hang on. I'm sorry. I'm holding you up. I'm going to find out.
He's on a mission now. Okay, while he's doing that, Melissa, as someone who's an expert in store layouts and store design and
well,
all
I'm
that stuff.
I'm not going to claim to be an expert, but...
Yeah, you are.
Well, Brian claimed that you're an expert, so that's just what it is. So, I mean, what kinds of things are you looking for or looking to do in terms of layouts and stuff? Do you have like a certain like process that you're going through to say, okay, here's how many machines or what, where to put them or anything like that?
So with our last store, one thing that I noticed when we bought our Taffel store, it had good floor space and there weren't any bottlenecks. So I've gone into stores and one thing that I don't like when I go into a store is if the machines are too close together and someone comes in with a ton of laundry, if they're loading a machine, if the person can't get behind them or can't load the machine behind them. So when we built our new London store, I made sure that the aisles were wide enough that you could be loading a machine on both sides of the aisle and you would still have room to walk between the two people, and that laundry carts would fit freely if people were standing at folding tables. I didn't want any bottlenecks, and I like nice wide space. And with COVID, it kind of solidified that people wanted space, right? So that was
huge,
important. Yeah, people did really.
Well, yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because, you know, here in L.A., like New York, like space is at a premium, right? Space in and there too, actually. You know, you just see so many laundromats where machines are crammed in there, you know, and also, you know, distributors get paid based off of how much they sell you. And so they sell you a whole lot of machines and sometimes you don't need that many machines. But you don't know what you don't know. Right. So, and that idea had never even crossed my mind really until I started the podcast. I started talking to some owners that are, you know, doing really well, and they had like space in the aisles, and I'm like, whoa, like people are like,
yeah, you can move around,
you know, like getting through each other and like having to wait and stuff. So yeah, I love that. And I think that is also, you know, part of the way of the future is having that throughput and making things really smooth and frictionless for the customer and their experience in the store.
All right. For current owners, the book's called Unreasonable Hospitality.
Ah, yes.
The remarkable power of giving people more than they expect. And it's written for the restaurant industry, but there's so much in that book that transcends to every business. So, and just that line of giving people more than they expect, mm-hmm, is that did it for me. So that's one of my summer reading books. I'm not done with it yet, but it's a fantastic book.
Yeah, I love that. I have not read that book actually, so good. I'm gonna put it on my on my list.
Yep,
it's good. And I'll drop a link for anybody who wants it in the show notes or If you're on YouTube, it's down below. So on your way down there.
My buddy Chris Jones is in the restaurant business, and he said, you need that book. It will work for your business.
Guys, if people want to get in contact with you, maybe they have questions for you. Maybe they need the guru of laundromat layouts to help them lay out a store. Or they just have questions about how you're building your business. Because like I said, I mean, most people are trying to get in and do what you guys are doing and are killing it. But if people want to contact you, what's the best way they can get a hold of you?
Website is mylaundryforless.com. Email is mail@waterfordlaundry.com.
Awesome.
Those are the best ways. Yep. And we're on Instagram, Laundry for Less Connecticut.
Perfect.
All right.
I'll have links to all that stuff in the show notes and the description on YouTube.
Cool.
All right. Thank you.
Nice. Perfect. 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 Okay, guys, you guys are a power couple. You just are, and I love it. Thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast, sharing so much of your experience over the last couple of years and before that too. But sharing, I mean, particularly for me personally, like just hearing about your build out experience has been, it was really good. I think it's really helpful. I get so many people who ask me about building out laundromats and what are some of the obstacles and some of the things to look at. So hearing about your experience obviously is going to help them out. And so I really appreciate you guys coming on. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you for having us.
Any time. And when you get that store full of 100-pound machines, we're gonna
get back on season here. 3.
Well, you know what? We'll do it. Yeah, we'll do it live in that store.
Nice. Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah.
I'll come out.
Forward to.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'll come out and we'll do it in that store. That'd be great.
Deal.
Sweet, guys. Appreciate you so much.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Hope you loved that interview with Brian Melissa. Like I said, so much good stuff in there. And, you know, again, the temptation is to just absorb all this content, to learn from them and to get that like dopamine hit from learning something new or, you know, having new ideas stimulating your mind, which is great. However, action is going to pave the road to success for you. So pick one thing and put it into action this week. Get out there and do it. You know, hit the pavement, whatever that looks like for you. Pick one thing, put it into action. If you're somebody who's like, yeah, I need to take more action and you're struggling to do that, maybe go to laundromatresource.com/forums and share on the forum. Hey, here's my action step. This is what I'm going to do, and have some accountability there from the rest of us over there. So check that out over there. And for me, my big takeaway, I loved when they're talking about telling your story. Like that is so good. And getting people to buy into your story is, that is like money in the bank right there, literally, but also in terms of just it being great advice. That's my big takeaway for me. I'm looking for new ways to tell the story, both with my laundromats, but also here with Laundromat Resource, because I've got big goals, big dreams, big ambitions for this community and what we can do together. So super excited about that. That's my big takeaway. What's yours? Go share it at laundromatresource.com/forums. And even more importantly, get out there and go get after it. Go do it. All right. We'll see you next week. Peace.